1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you find that, put your finger there and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 3, hold that spot and just flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to be talking about the subject here of the judgment seat of Christ. All right, the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to read a verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 first, and then we'll turn back to 1 Corinthians 3. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now keep in mind as we read these verses that Paul's writing here to the church at Corinth. He's writing to the church, right? So he's writing to saved people, Christians, born again. All right? So flip over to 1 Corinthians there, chapter 3. And we'll start reading there in verse number 11. Looking at the subject of the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You. And Lord, we're grateful to be in Your house today, Lord, but I do need You. I do pray, Lord, that You use me here today. I pray You'll fill me with Your Spirit. Right now, I pray, Lord, You give me Your power, Your wisdom, Your guidance, Your direction to look at Your Word here and to preach Your Word here today. And Lord, we just give You the glory and honor here today, Lord. But maybe there's one here today, maybe there's one over the internet that doesn't know You as Savior. Lord, I pray today they'll come to You for salvation. And Lord, we just give You the glory and honor that's done here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there's coming a day. And it could be today. It could be right now. It could be this very next moment that Jesus Christ will appear in the clouds. And with a shout, He will call all of us who are born again to come up to be with Him forever and ever in heaven. This is known as the rapture, right? We know that. But this is also known as the believer's hope. Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Listen, we are to be looking for Christ, not the Antichrist. You get that? We're to be looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Look, if you're saved, you've been born again, you're not even going to be here when the Antichrist comes on scene. We need to be looking for Christ. He could come today. He could come this very moment. He is coming soon. But if the rapture does not happen in our lifetime, we will meet Jesus through the process of death, right? Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment," right? The Bible speaks of two judgments, okay? There is the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment for all the lost people in the world who's ever been. They will be judged before the Lord Jesus Christ and cast into the lake of fire forever and ever, not able to get out of there, eternal damnation. We find that in Revelation 20, 14 and 15. "And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is eternal torment." But then there's the judgment that we're looking at here today. There is the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, this is the judgment for every born-again believer. See, there's coming a day we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account about our lives. But get this, though. Neither one of these judgments determine your salvation. Okay, these judgments aren't to determine where you will go or where you will spend eternity. No, that's not the case. That has been determined here on earth, here in this lifetime. You see, death is too late. When death happens, it's too late to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to Him in this lifetime. The Bible gives us many verses on that. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And we know Ephesians 2:8, now we just sing about grace, right? That wonderful grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, you got to come to that point where you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. He paid it all. He did it all. You come to Him. You believe on Him. He'll take you to heaven when we die. But now the judgment seat of Christ. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be in heaven for all of eternity. But this judgment will be a time and a place where all Christians will give an account of our lives. We will give an account of our lives, and just that very thought alone should motivate us, shouldn't it? That the very fact that we're going to stand before a holy, righteous God, the God that died on the cross for our sin, He bore my sin debt, if I'm to stand before Him one day, shouldn't that motivate us to do something for Him? Shouldn't that motivate us to be faithful to Him? Shouldn't that motivate us to be committed to Him? If knowing one day I have to stand before Him and everything that I've done in this body I will have to give an account for, shouldn't we just want to serve Him? Shouldn't we just want to live for Him? But unfortunately, many, many, many believers all around the world spend all of their time and energy focused on the things of this world and not on Christ. You may have heard of a missionary named Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot, he was a missionary who was killed in Ecuador while trying to reach the Aka Indians. And he said this in one of his letters. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." You see, he gave his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for the gospel to be out, to get out to those Indians there. And another quote he said, which was written down in his book, he says this. He says, "God, I pray Thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for Thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is Thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like You, Lord Jesus." Lord Jesus. Hey, the judgment seat of Christ is coming. It is coming. There is coming a day, and it's going to be a day of great joy, but it's also going to be a day of great loss. In Matthew 25, verse 21, the Bible says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." But then there's also the verses here that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." You see, like I said before, this isn't the judgment to determine your salvation. You're already saved. You're at the judgment seat of Christ. Our works is what's going unto the fire. And that's what's going to be judged. So the choice is up to us. The choice is up to you. So let's look at this here on the judgment seat of Christ. Let me give you a few truths here today. Number one, I want you to see what the judgment seat of Christ is. There in 2 Corinthians, if you flick back over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, let's see here, what is the judgment seat of Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Now, this word judgment here that we're talking about, the judgment seat here, this is the Greek, the bema seat, which in Paul's day was a seat of a raised platform where the Roman governors would judge cases. Pilate sat on a bema seat when he judged Jesus. In Matthew 27:19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, you see, the judgment seat of Christ is an event that will happen after the rapture, where all born-again believers in Jesus Christ will stand before the very throne of the Lord Jesus and give an account of our lives. And the judge is Jesus Christ. Get that? The judge is none other than Jesus Christ, the one who died for each of us. He is the judge. You see, God the Father gave him all judgment. In John 5:22, the Bible says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Jesus Christ will be our judge that day. And I'm saying the judgment seat of Christ should motivate you. It should motivate you. It should motivate me to just, "Hey, Lord, here I am," to present our bodies a living sacrifice, to be committed, to be faithful, to be diligently serving the Lord. We will have rewards in heaven, or we will have loss of rewards. Look back there at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 14 and 15 there in 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 14 says, "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Hey, this is an appointment. Hebrews 9:27, this is an appointment. It's an appointment that cannot be escaped. It's an appointment that cannot be ignored. You say, "Hey, on this life I'm always late for appointments. I miss appointments. I forget about them." Don't have to worry about this. This is going to happen. You will not miss this appointment. This is one of those you cannot escape. Now, many people want to ignore the Word of God. Yeah, you can ignore the Word of God. You can deny the Word of God. You can reject the Word of God. But you know, God's Word is still true. God's Word is still true. It is still God's Word. It's not a man's Word. It is God's Word. And there will come a day of accountability for every person. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." Look, you cannot hide your sins from God. He sees everything. Nothing can be hidden from Him. In this judgment, everything will be revealed. And I'm talking about our works here. I'm not talking about our sins. Our sins are under the blood. Our sins were paid for on the cross, and when we took Jesus as our Savior. The purpose of the judgment seat will not be to punish us for our sins. Okay, Psalm 103:12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Isaiah 38:17, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind my back." Micah 7:19, "He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us, He will subdue our iniquities, and now will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." And you know Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful unto the unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." You see, that day, that time, that moment you took Jesus Christ as your Savior, all your sins were forgiven. Your past sins, your present sins, your future sins, they're all under the blood. But what we're talking about here is our works. Our works are going before the fire. You see, the judgment seat of Christ is where every saved person, every born-again believer, every man's works, not our sin, will be made manifest on this day. So let me give you another point here. Number two, I want you to see the fire of the judgment seat. The fire. The fire. If you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Looking here at the fire of the judgment seat, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Hey, I want you to notice something here. That it's not, the fire isn't on the person, okay? The fire is on the works of the Christian. Our works are being tried here. Our works, okay? But it's going to be a precise accounting. It's going to be an accurate accounting. There'll be nothing hidden. There'll be nothing kept aside. It will all be revealed, and you know why? Because the fire reveals. Fire refines. You know the refiner's fire, how it'll melt down and liquefy metals such as gold. And once that metal is melted down, the dross will rise to the top, the impurities, the bad stuff. It comes to the top before it cools, and you can go ahead and scrape all that off, and then you're left with pure metal, right? And that's what God's going to do. He's going to draw out our dross, our works, so that we will stand before Him pure and righteous before Him. Hey, listen, the fact is, every born-again believer will be judged on the basis of their works, okay? Their works, and tried by the fire. I want you to see a couple things about this fire here. Number one, I want you to see that the fire is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the omniscience, the all-knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your finger here and turn to Revelation chapter 1 and look there at verse 14. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 and look at verse 14. I want you to see a couple things about this fire. The fire is the omniscience of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, His head and His hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And get this, and His eyes were as a flame of fire. Right? A flame of fire. This describes His omniscience. This describes His all-knowing, His power of the Lord Jesus. He sees everything. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's able to see even behind closed doors. He's able to see even when the lights are turned off. And He's even able to see whenever no one else can see. Whenever there's no one else around and you're not able to hide from Him. We're not able to hide. Nothing will be able to be hidden from Him. This is the omniscience, the all-knowing, the all-power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And turn back there to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. No one will be able to hide from Him. We won't be able to hide anything from Him on that day. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 says, Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Hey, listen, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is that thing that the world says, follow your heart. Follow your heart. That's contradicting, right? Contradicting. But the Bible says that in this day, Jesus is going to know our heart. He's going to know our intention. He's going to know our works. And He is going to judge us that this day based upon our works. It's not going to be the pastor. It's not going to be the deacons. It's not going to be the Sunday school teacher. It's not going to be your parents, your children. It's not going to be those people that judge. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 14:10, the Bible says, But why dost thou judge thy brother? But why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, this is why. This is why we must not live for ourselves. This is why our life should revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not live for the pleasures of this world. We must live for Christ. In John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. We need to be looking to Jesus Christ, not looking down at the world. Hey, get off of the social media and get with the Lord. Get off of the news stations. Get off of your screen time. All that's wasted life. What does it profit you? Are you closer to the Lord when we've engulfed and spent hours a day on the social media and the news stations? Hey, it's all a bunch of lies anyway. They're only going to feed us what they want us to know, right? They're only going to feed us what they want us to know. My point is this. Don't put your confidence in man. Don't put your confidence in the things of the world. Don't put your confidence in the things that we can see. Put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put our confidence in Him. Trust in Him, right? Hey, it's great. We're about to come into a presidential election, and it's coming very quick. But I'm going to tell you, neither one of those candidates are the Savior of the United States. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He is the only one who could bring this country around, right? We got to keep our eyes on Him. We got to focus on Him. And no matter what's going on around us, we got to continue to just be faithful to Him. Keep serving Him no matter what is going on around us. In Psalm 118, verse 8, the Bible says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord, no matter what's going on. But look, I'm just talking about the fire here. But I also want you to see about this fire. I want you to see this fire is not only the omniscience of Jesus Christ, but it is Jesus Christ's Word. It is His Word. The fire is the Word of God. Listen to this. In Jeremiah chapter 23, in verse 29, the Bible says, is not my Word like as a fire, saith the Lord? Is not my Word like as a fire, right? The Word of God is like that fire that purifies and cleanses the human heart. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God does. It drives deep and deep and deep. Hey, no man's words can go that deep. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it goes deep. And it'll separate a proud soul from a humble soul. It'll separate a sinful soul from a righteous soul. It'll separate a rebellious soul from an obedient soul. Hey, listen, it'll separate a saved soul from a lost soul. That's the Word of God. The Word of God, no other Word can do any of those things other than the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and is powerful and is truth. Every single bit of it is true. It's true. Now, what we're looking here is the fire. That fire is going to judge our works and our service in light of God's Word. In light of His Word, He's going to reveal how He sees our works. Get that? He's going to reveal our works. We're going to see what He thinks of our works. So we've got to do not be deceived, right? Be not deceived. It doesn't matter what you and I think, right? It doesn't matter how we feel. What does God say? What does He say? What does the Bible say? The only thing that truly matters in this life is what God says. Because that's what we're going to be judged by, is His Word. That's what is going to be tried of our works, is His Word. The fire is His Word. You got to know His Word. You got to know it. Right? There's so many religions out there, and they don't want you to know God's Word. We want you to know God's Word. I want you to have your Bibles open and you follow along with me as we look at the verses so you can see them. Why? Because when you see them, you read them, you say them, that Word of God drives deep in your heart. Right? It draws deep in your heart and it does what only God can do, not what any man can do. That's why, hey, I say, don't just come into church and sit here and then leave. By the time you get to the door, you've forgotten everything that I said. You've forgotten everything the Holy Spirit was trying to work in your life. Don't just come in here, take up a pew, sit down. Hey, what you need to do is take notes. Write these verses down. I've given you a lot of verses today, last week. I'm going to give you a lot more later. Write these down. Take them home. Study them. Right? Use them in your life. You see, it's kind of like what Brother Charlie said this morning in Sunday school, right? You come into church, the preacher gives you God's Word. You're to take God's Word out into the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? You're to take what you get here and go and give it to people, right? You can reach people that I can't, co-workers, family members, whatever the case might be. You give in the Word of God here, you go out into the lost and dying world, and you get that Word out that way. But if you don't take notes, you're not truly getting it. You're going to forget everything before you leave. I remember this quote from when I was in high school, right? The palest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. The palest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. And I remember my high school teacher saying that. Meaning, hey, take notes. Write it down. Even if it's the palest ink, you write it down, it's going to jog your memory, right? You put it, take it home, and you've forgotten it, but you pull that out, and it reminds you. Hey, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Yes, yes. And that's another reason why that I'm pushing for memory verses, right? I want you to memorize the Bible, right? One of the other reasons why is so your mind can stay sharp. If you don't use it, you'll lose it, right? And so you start memorizing Scripture. You're giving your memory a muscle memory. You're training your muscles of your memory, and you're going to quicken your memory, right? So, hey, the Word of God here, talking about the fire, right? In 2 Corinthians 5:11, the Bible says there, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hey, look, that day is coming. The judgment is coming. The terror of the Lord, we're going to give an account for our lives. The excuses we make here aren't going to matter. They're only excuses. Excuses after excuses. I couldn't make it to church today because of this, because of that, because of that. God's not buying the excuses. Right? The Word of God, the fire, the Word of God, the omniscience, knowing your heart. Our works are going to be revealed by fire. Moving on here, thirdly, I want you to see the materials to be tested in the fire here. The materials to be tested in the fire. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 12. First Corinthians 3, in verse 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, right? Those that are indestructible would be gold, silver, precious stones. Those that are destructible, they burn up quick. The wood, the hay, the stubble, these are all the things of the world. Right? These are all the things of the world that we put in our lives and we put in our hearts, that they don't have any spiritual, eternal value, and so they burn up quickly. They burn up quickly. This is referring to that carnal Christian, the worldly Christian. The wood, the hay, the stubble would be to follow man's ways of thinking, right? To follow psychology, to follow man's ways of thinking, to follow the world's ways of thinking. In Proverbs 14:12, the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, as we go through this life, we got to remember there's at least three enemies that we're going to battle every day. Three enemies out there. There's the world, there's the flesh, and there's the devil. Every day we're going to battle these. The world, that's the system that is contrary to God's Word. There's our flesh, the sinful nature that tempts us to disobey God. And Matthew 26:41, the Bible says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Get that. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? Then you have the devil. Right? We know there's a devil, Satan. He wants to destroy man. And he gives us another warning here in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you, destroy you. You, me, this church, our family, our kids, everybody. He wants to destroy us. The gold, silver, and precious stones here represent the Christian that is focused on Jesus Christ. The one who has their eyes on Jesus Christ. The one who is living for eternity. This is the Christian we would talk about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added onto you. We're seeking Him. We're seeking His righteousness. We're not looking at the things that I think or I see or I feel, right? We're looking upon Him for His provisions. It's the Christian who obeys the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's who we're talking about. The gold, silver, precious stones. It's that Christian that denies himself and takes up the cross and follows Jesus in Mark chapter 8. It's that Christian that walks in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Walks in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Hey, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to get away from the world. You're going to have to get off of the internet. And you're going to have to pick up your Bible. You're going to have to get in the Word of God, and you're going to have to walk with Him if you're going to deny yourself. If you're going to be a spiritual and not a fleshly Christian. But here's the thing. We all can examine our lives. We can examine our lives and we can see what kind of foundation we're building. We can see what kind of a Christian life we are building because He's given us His Word. He's given us His commandments. He's given us how to live in His book here. And God is serious about these things. You look over and you read your Bible and you see, I couldn't even imagine to begin the number, but many, 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 many people that God took out, that God killed, right, that were not obedient to Him and His Word. Right? He is serious about His Word. I'm trying to get that. He is serious about His Word, and things come upon in our lives because we're not serious about His Word. He can use illnesses in our lives. He can use diseases in our lives. He can use things in our lives. He can even use people in our lives, right, to get us to wake up. And when we constantly don't wake up and we still keep pushing His Word to the side, He's not okay with that. This is serious, serious business, right? I die to my flesh. I die to my wants is what we should be saying. Pick up your cross and follow Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, look, it's just reasonable service to die daily, pick up your cross, follow Him, live for Him. It's just reasonable service, right? It's just reasonable service. And then verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Right? What is the will of God for your life? Right there, Romans 12, 1 and 2. To not be conformed to this world and to present your bodies to Him. Why? Because the judgment's coming. The fire, our works are going into the fire, and there will be rewards. There will be loss of rewards. I got one more point here for you. I want you to see the works to be judged. Right? The works to be judged. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll read it again in verse 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Every Christian is going to give an account. Every one of us. Give an account for the things done in this body. Everything done in our body is God's business. He is our Creator. He created us. And so we are going to either be rewarded for what we've done or we will lose rewards. Again, remember, it's not about salvation. It's about the rewards and loss of rewards here. But I think about standing in front of the Lord Jesus. And you know, I was 38 when I got saved, and I thought I was a good person, good enough to get to heaven, but I was so wrong. And at 38 years old, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved, and I didn't really get into truth until I was 40 years old. So at 40 years old, I started getting preaching from the Bible. And right, and so that's when the Lord started working in our lives. But I think about 40 years old, 40 years of my life, basically, for the Lord, nothing. Right? Nothing. Nothing. And so whenever I got saved and the Lord began working with me, working in my heart about what I was going to do, you know, in leading me in this direction, I just said, "Lord, I just want to do whatever You want me to do, because I wasted 40 years. So whatever You want me to do, You're going to have to help me to do it, because I can't do it. But You help me in whatever it is You want me to do," right? But I think of standing before Jesus and then realizing wasted years. I was so consumed with the ball games. I was so consumed with feeding my flesh and doing the worldly things, right? All those wasted gifts, right? Don't let those years be wasted. Don't let those gifts be wasted, right? We are a small church, but I tell you, there's a lot you can do, right? There's a lot you can do. Are you gifted in the piano? Are you gifted in music? Are you gifted in singing? Are you gifted in driving the van? You know, are you gifted in knocking doors, right? God gives those gifts, right? God gives those gifts. Don't let those things be lost. I think of the loss of rewards on that day. It's kind of like when Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times, right? 3 times. So let me give you a couple things here. So what are some things to be considered? I just wanted you to think about this. Let me give you a few things that will be considered for rewards there in heaven. One of them will be how we treat others. How we treat others there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Right? How we treat others, other believers. How we employ our God-given abilities. What did we do with those things that God gave us abilities to do? 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And you can also look at the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 15 and the parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19. But how we use our money is another way that will be considered. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Right? Just a couple things to consider for rewards. How we treat other believers. How we employ our God-given abilities. How we use our money. How much we suffer for Jesus. How much we suffer for Jesus. In 1 Peter 4:12, it says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let me give you another one. How we spend our time. How we spend our time. What are we doing? 1 Peter 1:17, And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. How we run the race. How we run the race. Philippians 3, right? There's a story. There's a story that goes kind of like this. A story about a husband and a wife that were married and they didn't really love each other. And the man was a very demanding husband. He was so demanding that he made a list of rules and regulations that his wife was to follow. He insisted that she read them every day and obey them to the letter. Among other things, his do's and don'ts indicated such details as what time she had to get up in the morning, when his breakfast should be made, when his breakfast should be served, how the housework was to be done. And after several long years in a lifetime of marriage, the husband got sick and passed away. As time passed, a woman met a man, and she and that man were married. The husband did everything he could to make his new wife happy, continually showering her with tokens of appreciation. One day, as she was cleaning the house, she found tucked away in a drawer the list of commands from her first husband. And as she looked it over, it dawned on her that even though her present husband never gave her a list of any kind, she was doing everything her first husband's list required. She realized she was so devoted to this man that her deepest desire was to please him out of love. Not obligation, but out of love. Doing things for him was her greatest joy. So it should be with us. So it should be with our relationship to Jesus Christ, because He loves us, we love Him, and we want to serve Him. No matter what, we just want to serve Him with all that we are. Look, if you love Jesus, our life's going to show it. Right? Your life will show it. Right? You will do the right things. You will act the right way. Your love for Him will be known. But if you were to face Jesus today, what would be the outcome? What would be the outcome of the judgment? Would you hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or would you see all of your works go up in the fire, go up in the flame? What would you see? What can you expect at the judgment seat of Christ? Hey, look, if it isn't what you want to see, we can change that today. We can change that right here. If you're here today and you say, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven when I die, you can change that today. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you here today. And we'll have an invitation in just a moment. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we can show you from the Bible how to be saved. But if your life as a Christian isn't where you'd like it to be, we can change that here today. You can change that here today by making the right choices. The choice is up to us. Rewards or loss of rewards. Not about salvation. The judgment seat of Christ. Let's pray.